Bibles, Matthew chapter 25. Just simple title, Parable of the Talents. Now let me tell you, because you're not going to hear me reference the talents in this way, the talents would be money. And a talent, you know, there's different ranges that you'll see, somewhere between 75 and 125 pounds. So, and then typically talents, if it's not stated, would be a talent of gold. And so if you want to say, let's just pick 100 pounds, right? Just to say, let's just pick and imagine that the talents that in this story will be a talent of gold. A talent of gold would be 100 pounds, 16 ounces per pound. It would be worth $3,120,000. So, you know, the one that was given 10 talents, $30 million, right? And so the one that was given, you know, 10, 5, and 1, right? And so it is, so what you'll see here is they're given different levels of talents, and so that's the Lord. So what I'm going to use this for is God gives us different responsibilities. He gives us, in fact, I will use the word talent in a way, he gives us different gifts, and really, how do we use those gifts for his glory, for his honor? I also want to tell you this, that remember this, parables were for believers, or at least I'll tell you this, were for those that professed Christ, were for those that said, you know, we believe and we want to follow the Messiah. Now, what's interesting in this parable, in fact, in our parable last week of the 10 virgins, not everyone that is in these parables are saved. And so Jesus is giving parables, right, so that it would illustrate and highlight the kingdom of God. And so it's important. But every single person in this room, you were created by God. Every single person in this room, you were created by God for his service and for his glory. Now, what kind of servant will you be? We talked about that a few weeks ago. Will you be a faithful servant that only comes by faith in Jesus Christ? Or will you be an evil servant and really you live for yourself, right? Those are the two distinguishments of mankind. Those that are saved, born again, those that are lost. Those that are faithful servants and those that are evil servants. The Bible it distinguishes mankind into two groups in so many different ways. But when we go through this, and then the final thing, as I read this, and I'm going to try to read it without commentating in the middle, the owner, the master that gives the talents, and he gives the talents to these people, I believe in this parable would represent God. I don't think that's any stretch at all when you see ultimately what he does, this owner, this master in this parable. And so that'll help you a little bit. And then the servants would be people just like you and I. In fact, I think this parable is ideal for church-going people. You understand this. In this room, there are people that are going to hell. And I don't think anybody in this room wants to go to hell. But what will be the distinguishment? True faith results in a different life. And so it's all about faith. I want you to understand this. When we go through Galatians 5, 11 through 18 tonight, it will put a cap on what we talked about last week. And I'm still grasping this in the simplicity, right? I've told you my struggle. I like to do. I would prefer to do. The first thing when somebody tells me something is not, let's trust in the Lord. I wish my first thing was, let's go to him in prayer. My first thing is, here's what you need to do. That's backwards. I think we do need to do some things. But the greatest thing we can do is trust in the Lord, right? The only way we're saved from our sins, the only way we're rescued from our sins is faith in Jesus Christ. Just bowing to God and letting him be God. I don't even the word letting him be God. Bowing to God in faith to Jesus Christ. I want you to understand this. Victory in life is bowing to God and trusting him and walking in the Spirit. It's that simple. And I've made it complex, right? It's not, you know, but it's bowing to God and saying, I'm going to trust you that you've provided all I need to have victory. And that's walking in the Spirit, right? So let's read this parable. I think there's a good message for all of us here. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. I'm going to read through verse 40, but it's an interesting story. I think it'll keep your attention, but let's get a move on it. Matthew 25, verse 14 says this, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, or according to their individual ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 22. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 24. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Verse 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury or with interest. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again, just simple title of the message, Parable of the Talents. Let's just walk through this parable, and let's just note what's going on in this parable. Look at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. Again, I think this man, this owner of the servants, and who called his own servants and delivered unto him his goods, this would be God. Now, do not remember this. Parables aren't to establish new truth. Do not take this parable as though God put us on this planet and he left and he just kind of got his back to us and going to see what happens. That's not the God of the Bible. So there are some that believe that. That's not true. This parable just is an earthly illustration to help us understand eternal truth. But this man would represent God in many ways, and where he has servants and he's given unto them his goods. I want you to notice he gives each servant talents, and I tell you this according to their ability. This is beautiful. Sean, you're not called to be Steve Hall. And Jessica says, Amen. Right? And so, but you know who you are called to be? Who God made. He has made you uniquely. He's made you specially. And he's given you talents. And he's given you gifts, and that's all he's going to hold you accountable to. I've said this all the time. If you're a moron, be a moron for Jesus. God will not hold you more accountable than the intellect that he gave you, because I want you to understand this. Whatever your IQ is, it's God-given. Don't be puffed up about it. But I will tell you this, rest in this. We can be encouraged by others, and we ought to. God's plan is that we meet eyeball to eyeball, elbow to elbow, that we interact with one another. The more that we interact with one another, the more disappointed we might be. Keep our eyes on Christ. We'll find out how human we really are. But let's serve together. Let's love one another, and we'll find that out tonight. That's really, if you want to fulfill all that God has for you, is that we would love our neighbor as ourself. That will fulfill the law. We'll hear that tonight. And so It is, if you want to honor the Lord, but it's according to their ability. Rest in that. God won't hold you accountable for something He has not given you. He gave specific talents to each, and it differed. Make sure of this. I always wanted to be, you'll laugh, I always wanted to be an introvert. How many introverts think that's crazy? In fact, if you're a true introvert, you won't raise your hand, right? And I always wanted to be one of these guys that could just sit in a room and not say anything. Right? Okay, it doesn't happen. But you know what I finally realized is I was envious rather than thankful. God made you. He gave you your personality. And see, you can be anywhere on a scale from hermit-like to out-of-control extrovert. And all that we need to do is submit our personalities unto the Lord. You understand this? I'll have more people that dislike me, maybe in this room collectively combined. But if it's my personality that causes them to dislike me, it's because I haven't submitted to the Lord. You know this? Maybe it is a little easier for me to interact with people and to confront people with the truth of the Bible. But you see, I still have to submit so that I don't do it in my power. I don't do it because I'm impressed with me. You understand? That's all of these are just, you can go insane if you really don't submit to the Lord. But I want to tell you this, the introvert, that it is the hardest thing for you to do, but what you need to do is submit to the Lord and say, I will tell others about you. Same submission with different personalities. But God gives different talents to these individuals, and He doesn't even explain it. Would you have rather had five or one? Five, yeah. That's the right answer. That's the right answer, right? I don't know. I would rather have five. So if I gave you this question, it's like if somebody were going to give you $100 million to invest or $5 million to invest, which would you want? $100 million until you found out just how accountable you'd be for that. But I would think I could do more with $100 million, right? I could make a few more mistakes. And still maybe it all work out, right? But it's this. Don't you worry about what God's given somebody else. Don't we spend a lot of time with that? Well, God's blessed them. You know, why does God do that for them and He doesn't do that for me? You're just wasting your time and wasting your energy, and really what you're doing is you're complaining to God. God's going to distribute the talents as He sees fit. Now, I want to tell you this. Do you want more talents? And what the Bible says is be faithful to the ones He's given you. And He'll give you more. See, rather than looking over, you know, we are all cows, right? I mean, these cows, they have turned where I grew up. They turned this cow pasture. I mean, it was right at the end of my street. And, I always had to get tetanus shots because we climbed that thing so much and get cut. So it's like, have you had a tetanus shot? And they've turned it into a subdivision. But I would watch these cows. And they would strain through the fence to get the grass that was on the other side. And I'm like, guys, that grass over there is looking pretty good. But that's exactly where we are. We're not happy or satisfied with what God's given us. We always want something that He hasn't given us. I want you to tell you this. Be satisfied and be faithful. This should encourage you so much. God is not going to hold you accountable for anything that you are not. That's good, isn't it? That's good. That's why Paul said this. He said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Right? And so Paul had that burden. Paul had that need. And Paul said, I've got to do this. And so you, all you want to do is you want to find out from God's Word. You know, first, what are the basics? What does God want me to do? Am I doing just the basics? And then we'll go from there. But I said this, they're different for each individual. Second, I want you to see this. The owner expected a return. Look at verse 19. He says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them, right? It's not that they were from Georgia. I reckon so, right? It's when he says this in verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. That word reckoneth means settles accounts. He's coming back. He's going to check out. He's going to settle accounts. He doesn't miss anything. And so I tell you this again, it's they will only be judged according to their ability. Right? And so he reckons accounts. The Lord expects a return. Every single person in this room, you will answer for the blessings that God has given you. For even those that are lost, for those that you have truly never placed your faith, simple faith in Jesus Christ, you will be held accountable for all the blessings that God's given you, and justly so. And so understand this, God expects a return. And I want to tell you, when we give our lives to Him in service to Him, the return, Don, is out of this world in so many ways. It will be for all eternity. I mean, I've told you this before, if I had this thing here this morning during announcements, I would have all your attention. And I would say guaranteed 50% return on all the money that you give today. You'll not only get what you give, but you'll get 50% more. And then you'll get 25% of that every week for the rest of your life. You guys would find money that you didn't know existed. You'd be ripping open mattresses just to see if a long-lost aunt left some money in the mattress. It is, but I want to tell you, if you understand God, your labor's never in vain. You serve Him. Now, I'm telling you, He's that good. God's clear. God's clear that He will bless you. But there's going to be suffering if you serve Him. There's going to be difficulty if you serve Him. There's going to be hardship if you serve Him. Because if you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you have now become enemy number one of the devil. Now, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We have nothing to fear but God. And we're going to find out what the right kind of fear was. But I want you to see the owner expects a return. But then I want you to see this. Look at verse 19. It says, after a long time, the Lord of these servants cometh. And so he returned after a long time. God has blessed everyone in this room. You can't change yesterday, so this kind of message could be a little terrifying. He's coming back, and you're going to give account. He's going to settle accounts. And he's given us a lot of time. Every day you're given, every day I'm given, is another day that says, how will I spend this for the Lord? How will I live this for the Lord? And that's what it's all about. Yes, you have to work your jobs and do your jobs and get income, but are you doing your job for the glory of Christ? Take a risk. I want to see somebody fired because they've just simply told their coworkers about Jesus. Be a great worker. But every worker that you work with, they should know one thing. They might say, oh, Randall, I disagree with a lot what he says, but he believes what he says. I know Randall. I've seen him. He's not perfect, but I'll tell you this, he's different. Randall ought to be different. And you ought to be telling them about Jesus so they'll put two and two together. Different. Jesus equals different. Every single person that you work with, every neighbor that you have, they ought to know. They ought to know that you love Jesus. And I've got to do a better job with my neighbors. I've got some Sikh neighbors that have moved in, and we have great intentions. How many of you have great intentions with your neighbors? We haven't delivered with those people yet. Why? Because, you know, I've got to become a Sikh expert. I don't have to become a Sikh expert. In fact, I know nothing about it. I know a little bit about it because I did some little research, but you know what we need to do? Have them over for dinner. They've lived there now too long, several years. And we've never had them over for dinner. I'm telling you, I'm preaching to myself. I'm not telling you that I've arrived. You understand this? They know who we are, but I've never sat down with them and shared with them the gospel. I know this. They're super kind people. They will let me do that. They might not meet with me again, but they'll let me do that. I want to ask them. I'll say, tell me, what does a Sikh believe? I'm curious. And if they're like most people in religion, they won't even know what they believe and why they believe it. And I'm going to ask them this because I'm just interested. I'll say, tell me, why do you believe that? Because I want to tell them what I believe, and I'm going to tell them why I believe it. I believe it because there's a God that gave us a book, and he's a big enough God to preserve it. And my book says, I'm a puke. And then I get to tell them about a God that loves worms. A God that loves people that don't deserve Jesus Christ. When I tell you about the neighbors, I tell you that even we need to be accountable, right? And so I'm looking at my wife, make sure of this. Let's make it happen. And so it's my job. I know this. If I told Deb, I said, because, you know, here's all I do. It's sort of like the parade of lights is kind of similar to my life. Deb, we're going to have the neighbors over. Do whatever you need to do. And so she's awesome, right? We're going to have a parade of lights. Okay, just help me with parade of lights. And so I'm not good at minutia. I'm not good at the details, but you guys will help me. You'll help me, right? And, you know, I hope, you know, it's this. This, now, what I say here with the, you know, have you ever read Price is Right when they don't get it? It's like, wah, wah, wah. You know, we don't want that with our trailer or our what are we calling it? Our float, whatever that might be, right? So I'm just telling you this. We're going to be held accountable. If you think I'm standing here preaching, saying, "Oh, I've nailed it. I've got it all down," you pray for me. The men know this. The men know this. Every Tuesday, I'm confronted with this. I know I need to interact with the leadership of Fairfield. It's the last thing I want to do. But I think God's given me a responsibility that I need to love them and care for them and pray for them and at least humble myself to try to share the gospel with them. Our men pray about that every Tuesday. They note that I very rarely do because I'm like, God's like, you know, you can stop praying, just obey. You know, I ought to pray, oh God, help me to obey today. What I'm telling you is this. I'm confronted with things that I put off. And you know what the Bible calls that? Sin. You see, I'm not saying every Baptist preacher has to reach the leadership of Fairfield. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, I believe God, that's what God wants me to do, and I've known that for a while. I was in denial for a while. And I believe, I don't know why, I just don't want to do it. He knows I don't want to do it. And I'm going to find out, just like I tell you, it's way easier than I think. I'm going to give account for that. You know why I don't do it? I don't love Jesus enough. I love Steve more than I love Jesus. I hate politics and everything that have to do with it. I need to do that. And I need to have a good attitude about it, right? I don't need to walk in and go like, hey, I've got a throw-up bag here, and I just need to get the, I'm so sorry, I don't want to be here. I need to be excited about it, right? And so I forgot some of you guys react to the sound of throw-up, but I never, no, I'm just, okay, get back to the message. We'll all be judged individually, and he'll return after a long time. I want you to see this. Each servant will be judged individually. You'll see this. That's verses 20 through 24. Each servant will be judged individually. Now, I want to show you the good servants. The good servants, they spoke only of results. They let the results do the speaking. All they did, look at verse 20. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents. He just gave accountability. He said, here's your five talents, and here's what I've done with those five talents. You see, God's going to ask us, what have you done? I have given you this. I have given you this responsibility. What have you done? I told Nassim and Maram, because we were having a Bible study the other week, and I said, I view everything by five different things. I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. I'm a husband. I'm a dad. And I'm a grandpa. So, we won't get off on that. But, you see, those are responsibilities God has given me, has he not? Everything that I do, everything that I think of, everything that it goes through this whole thing is I am responsible, and those are gifts. You see, responsibility is a gift. Responsibility is an honor. Responsibility is a blessing of God. And we grow up in a society to where we resist that and we hate that. But I will tell you this, is it not good to be a dad? Amen? Okay, it's really hard to be a dad. I know it is. But is it good to be a dad? You know, I know it's some of you guys, okay, it's a rough time for most of our dads in here, I can tell. It's good to be a dad. It's better to be a grandpa. I agree. But we need to rejoice in responsibility. They spoke only of what they did and what the results were. And I want to show you this. For lack of time, I won't go into it. They are given greater privilege and responsibility. Look at verse 21. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." There's the parable, a similar parable that Jesus gives in Luke. And he said, you've been faithful over 10. I will give you 10 cities. Faithful over the 5 talents, I'll give you 5 cities. And so, but I love this. Let's be clear. He said, thou hast been faithful over a few things. Christianity shouldn't be overwhelming. Jesus said, my burden is light and my yoke is easy. Don't let Christianity overwhelm you. Jesus said just a few things. Just remember this. Just when you're just feeling like you're about to hyperventilate. And I here's an Elia story. That's my granddaughter, for some of you who don't know. It's like, man, she gets all upset about things sometimes, right? And you've seen little kids, they just start hyperventilating, right? And I don't know what to do. And so I've heard, you know, something with a bag you put over their head or something. Right? No? Like a lunch bag. You blow into it. Okay. I didn't put a bag over her head, okay? I didn't. I mean, so I'm not trying those remedies that obviously aren't good. And so I had it over her head for 4 minutes. I don't know what happened. No, I don't. But she gets all upset over nothing. Now, it's a big deal to her. She's 2. Big deal to her. But understand this. When I'm all upset, all of you see that it's what most likely over nothing. It's a big deal to me. What I need to do is, I don't want you to leave this morning overwhelmed. He gives us a few things. A few things. Remember this? What I think the Bible would have us focus on is, what are the gifts God's given you? What are the talents God's given you? And you know what? What most Christians do, they spend their entire life trying to get the things they're horrible on, make them what they're good at. Stop. Here's what you need to do. The things that you're bad at, if it's sin, find a way that'll keep you from sin so that you can focus on the things that you're good at, the things that God made you for, the thing that God designed you for, so you can honor Him. And I want to tell you this. When you do what God designed you to do, you'll love it. You'll love it. If you're miserable, it's one of two things. It's not what God designed you for, or 2, you're not saved. I want you to understand that. When you do what God designed you for, you love it. You love it. God's intention is that most are not pastors. I love it. And I love being a pastor. I love being a pastor, even with the problems. I love being a pastor. And it's not, I mean, it's you know, in the grand scheme of things, if we were to declare, is Steve a failure or a success, it would be failure. But I'm not going to let that discourage me, because Christ is not a failure. And I have hope every single day that we still can reach Fairfield, and I will not let us go of that. I want us to reach Fairfield. I want us to make a difference in this community. I do. So I want to tell you this, it's that you'll love whatever God has. That is it. You'll love it. Jill, do you like writing the letters? Now you can tell me no if you don't, and I'll be like, whoa, okay, we need somebody to write the letters. I think you do, right? You know why? God designed you to write letters. You've never sent me one, but He's designed you to write letters. And I mean, you know, He's designed you to even work on a database, right? And all the detail and the minutia, right? And so I know that there, every day doesn't have to be that way, but overall, you love it. You get into your laboratory, right? And you're like, oh God, help me with this letter. And you take each letter to the Lord. I love that. You were designed for that. And when you do what God wants, see, you know what I hate? Writing. I do. I'm happy there are weird people like you out there, right? But it is this. It's just a few things, isn't it? Just a few things. Don't get overwhelmed. I will tell you, He will give you greater responsibility. Understand this? For all eternity. There's going to be a work to do. There's going to be service to do unto the King for all eternity. And your faithfulness this side of heaven will impact the privileges you get in eternity. I want to make sure of this. Are you saved? Now let's look at the evil servants. I want you to see this. Their statements, look at verse 24. Their statements prove they don't know God. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord. Now he addressed God the proper way. He said, Lord. Just because you address God the proper way doesn't mean you're saved. And you have to agree with me that they're not saved, because look at the end result in verse 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He doesn't do that to his children. Verse 24. Then saith he which had received the one talent, Lord, I knew thee. He did not. He said, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, and you reap where you sow not, and you gather where you hath not sowed. I want to tell you this. He didn't know God. Do you know the average view of God today is a mean ogre? A God that's ready to strike you. In fact, some Christians think God's got his holy paddle just ready to strike you down. That's not the God of the Bible. Yes, oh Christian, he will chasten you, but he'll chasten you because he loves you. You know, Eliab, I mean, I will tell you this. Deb says all kids are like this. I don't think so. She's like, I mean, are all kids like that? I'm like, wow, man, I mean, it's like, you know, she likes certain songs, like, you know, I got her on Joy, 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 but she'll be Joy, Joy. And so I'll, you know, put that on my computer, and 5 seconds in, and the Joy, 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 she's like, Joy, Joy, she's like, Shine, Shine, this will light mine, Shine, you know, it's like 5 seconds. Okay, I put it on Shine. It's like Penguins, I got this Penguins one, she puts it on Penguins. 5 seconds. I mean, you know, we went through 30 books, I think, in a minute and a half the other day. And it's like, okay. I don't remember how I was connecting the dots. I was, but okay. Anyway, just good Eliab story anyway, just to help you. I was going to connect the dot. You guys, sometimes it doesn't always connect up here. And but they didn't know God. Oh, disciplining Eliab is a very hard thing to do, but she needs it. She needs it, right? I mean, I told several of you people, but this defines children, right? We were at La Pinata with Randall and the Tilleries a couple weeks ago. And Deb had told Elia, and I didn't know about it. And she said, no more chips. You know, Deb's all about rules, and I'm not. I'd be like, you want the whole bowl? I don't care. And, I mean, she's not going to die on chips. She's not going to die on chips, right? It's like this. I am the chip guy. And so, you want chips? Chips. Chip papa. And so, she asked me. She said, chip. I gave her chip. This is what she did. She got the chip before she ate it. And she goes, Mimi, papa. And she ate the chip. And I knew right away, somebody had told her no chips. And, but it's like, so she needs discipline. When God disciplines us, it's loving. I want you to understand this. God's not an ogre. God is not hard. Let me tell you, you don't want to face God in judgment, but he's not harsh. It's perfect justice. He doesn't delight in the death of the wicked. It's perfect justice. How do you view God? If you're walking around, if you're saved today, if you're born again today, and you're truly saved today, and you think that God is just looking down at you and thinking that you're a puke and thinking that you're just useless, then you don't know your God. Everyone that's had a child that struggled, you love that child. I know there are tough days, but don't put that mindset to God. But you love that child, do you not? You're going to love that child till you die or they die, whoever kills each other first, right? It's a bad joke. But it's this. You see this? This person didn't know God. And then look at verse 25. The fear of the Lord is good, but they said this. This is the wrong kind of fear. He said, and I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast, that is thine. You see, the fear of the Lord is misunderstood. It's not quaking like, ah! But it's understanding this. It's being aware of God's presence and aware that you will answer to him one day, and let's get with it. It's understanding who God is and who isn't. We're not God and he is. He's my creator. He's the one I'll answer to. But the fear of the Lord, there is going to be a reckoning day. There's going to be an accountability day. But he is not some God. You know what we need to do? God says this, draw nigh unto me and I will draw nigh unto you. He's a God that we should draw nigh to and not fear in the way that says, I was afraid, so I went and hid my talent. Excuses. Here's the terrifying thing. God's not interested in excuses. The excuses of this person, and I want you to see this third thing. They were capable of being responsible. That's important. God said this, I've given you these talents. And I know, remember the talents, that it would be a monetary thing in this story. But I have made you. And I'm going to hold you accountable. And you are capable of being responsible. Now, true responsibility only comes through faith in Christ. Understand that. Maybe you've tried to be a Christian or tried to behave like a Christian. I'm telling you this, when you're a Christian, God will help you. I know. I flounder like a fish out of water too often. But I know this. I've seen God bless me. He will give me victory. I will never let go of that because I've watched him. It's not as fast as I want, but that's my lack of faith. I want you to understand this. When he gives you responsibility, you're capable of being responsible. I want you to notice this, though. This is kind of shocking. The talents were taken away from evil servants and given to faithful servants. Look at verses 28 and 29. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. See, that'll help you understand this. It's this. I'm going to address a couple things. All God's asking you to do is be faithful in the few things. Just be faithful. Keaton, I love that you're here this morning. You know all you had to do? Put the right leg in the right pants, put the left leg in the left pants, but it was a challenge this morning, wasn't it? Voices, circumstances, all in your head. You know what God wants you to do? Be faithful in a few things, right? Honor him. You've got needs and desires, don't you? Don't honor him to get. Just be faithful in a few things, all right? One leg at a time. Get up. Get here. Tell somebody about Jesus. Faithful in a few things, all right? That's all God's asking. Don't make it bigger than that. He's just asking you to make him your life, that you're saved now, and just trust him one day at a time. You know who doesn't like you? The devil. It's not God. Always remember that, okay? Remember that. Here's what he says. You're faithful in the little, he'll give you more. That's a blessing. Now, some of you are sitting here and you go, I knew it. I've blown it all my life and God's taken all my gifts. He's taken all my talents. The Bible principle still feels is true. Remember this, I tell you the Bible basics. If you're a Christian today, here's the Bible basics. Feast on God's word. Seek his face in prayer. Be a church rat. All that means is, we hope we don't have any rats here, but when you open the doors, the rats are here, right? So be here and the doors are open. Be a Great Commission Christian. That means you're going to teach the lost and teach the saved. And then with your stewardship, being a manager, time, talents, and treasure. You can do that, can't you? You don't have to have anything special to do the basics of God. If you do the basics of God, you know what God's going to do? Brooke, he's going to bless you and say, okay, Brooke, here's the next, you know what I love, Brooke? Thank you for cleaning the upstairs. Our ladies that clean, and so our ladies that clean, we've got uh, we got Sandra, we've got Brooke, we've got Katie, we got Maram, and Ellen. Did I miss anybody? Who's that? April, right? I'm really naming you in case you have any problems. You know who to see now. And but I want you to know this. How many of you did not know who was doing all the cleaning before I named their names? And the rest of you are lying. And but you know this? You didn't do it for that. Although Brooke asked me, she said, you know, it'd be nice if you mentioned me every once in a while for cleaning the up. She didn't say that. But it's this. You don't think cleaning is just a simple thing to do for God? These ladies, I was here on Friday, I think it was, and had a couple Bible studies, and they spent hours here. They came downstairs and did some special cleaning. Did you guys clean the floor in the young adults room? I thought so. It looked really good today. Did you notice how good the floor looked? It did. I thought, I'd noticed how bad it looked, and I was wondering when you ladies were going to get with it. But you know, I'm just kidding. That's not your job. We've never given anybody a job in the young adults room, because who cares about the young adults? No, I'm just kidding. We've never given them responsibility. You saw a need and you did it. God will bless you. Just be faithful in the little things. God will bless you. Yes, he may have taken some of your talents away and given them away. Be faithful. And the final thing is, the unprofitable servant was justly condemned. Look at verse 30. Justly. He says, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I want to take you over to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, and I'll close with this. Luke chapter 17 speaks of another unprofitable servant, but in a different way. But I think it fits with the message. Luke chapter 17, verse 7 says this. Luke chapter 17, verse 7. "But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to eat?" So he's asking this question. How many of you have servants that are out there milking the cows and getting the back 40 done, right? He says, when they come in, you say, "Hey, grab a seat and eat." No. "Will not you rather say unto him," verse 8, "make ready wherewith I may sup?" And then this guy's going to come in from the field and he's going to make dinner. "And gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink." Verse 9. "Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not, I trow not." Verse 10. "So likewise ye, when you shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say this. We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." I tell you all this today. It still shocks me when God says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Because all that we've done is what we should have done. Be careful, O servant, that you don't think you're something. None of us in here are anything. It's Christ that's everything. What a joy it is to do his will. What a joy it is to do his work. You see, there are three servants in this story today. Last week we had 10. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. This week we have 3. 2 were faithful, 1 was evil. 33% this week, 50% last week. I beg you, nothing matters if you're lost. Nothing matters if you don't know Christ and you haven't truly just put your faith in him. It's not baptism. It's not faithfulness. It's not goodness. It's faith in Christ and Christ alone. You see, when Jesus saves, Jesus changes. I want you to view service to the Lord as a privilege. Yes, in some ways, it's a duty. But oh, what else is better to do in life than to serve the King? If you don't want to serve the King today, what makes you think you're going to want to serve the King for all eternity? I beg you, if you're saved, just be faithful. Faithful in the few things. And God will bless us beyond imagination. It is worth it because he is worthy. Let's pray. Father,